Now, I spoke to you last week, not in the sermon, but before the sermon, I spoke to you last week about this is not a time for us to panic. This is not a time for God's people to panic. This is a time for us to trust the Lord, look to the Lord. This is also a time for us to show the love of Christ to other people. This is a time for us to be good ambassadors for Christ. And so let's be careful about those things. Now, having said that, you know, if you have a need, if one of us gets sick and you have a need, I'm here. Please let me know. I can, if you have to isolate yourself, you need someone to go to the store, things like that, let us know. We're here to serve one another. Okay, so we need to take care of one another during this time. Along those lines, as we've seen all of this stuff on the TV and we read all this stuff in the newspaper, I thought it would be a good opportunity to look at something different this morning. We're going to break today from our series on the parables of Christ. And I want to look at a verse here in the book of Proverbs that kind of gives us a description or just gives us some guidance on what to do in uncertain times. How should we be reacting to what's going on outside these four walls? How should we be reacting? And really, look, most of us here, probably none of us here, you don't need me to tell you how to react. You know how to react. But sometimes we need some encouragement. We need reminder. We need some exhortation to help us act the way we should. And so this morning, I want us to look at what to do in uncertain times. And so that's what we're going to focus on today. What should we do when things around the world and things outside these four walls seem to be going a bit crazy? How should we behave? When you go to the store and everybody's cleaned everything out, how are we supposed to react? How should we behave? Proverbs, we're just going to read really one verse this morning and we're going to kind of pick it apart and look at it. What does it mean? Proverbs 21:31. Solomon writes and says this, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord and ask Him to bless the preaching of His word this morning. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we're simply going to look at one verse this morning. Lord, but we know that one verse of Your word has more value than a million words of men. And so, Father, I pray this morning that as we look at this verse, Lord, that You would, through the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, that You would unlock the truth and unlock the meaning contained within this verse. Help us, Lord, as we seek to study it this morning and as we seek to understand what it is that Solomon is teaching us, what Solomon is conveying to us. And I pray, Father, that as we look at it, Lord, that it might be a mirror that we hold up and it reveals to us things in our life that we need to change, things that we need to improve, things that we need to do differently. I pray, Father, that You would bless the preaching of Your word this morning. I pray, Father, that You would empower me to preach in such a way, Lord, to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You would be at work in our hearts today. And Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm deviating from the series on the parables because I believe we need a different message at this time. Over the last couple of months, and we began to hear reports about this illness and all about 2 months ago, and specifically the last few weeks, our world has been gripped by uncertainty and fear. Our world, increasingly our region of the world, we see on TV, countries in Europe are just completely shutting down. Only grocery stores and pharmacies are allowed to be open. Restaurants, other shops, airports closed, ports closed, all sorts of things. And fear and uncertainty are gripping our world. And there are signs all around us that people are going into panic. All you gotta do is go to the grocery store. I went to the grocery store a couple times this week. And all you gotta do is walk the aisles of the grocery store and you can see that people are going into panic. They're taking things, they're buying things that really they have no purpose for what we face. People are buying hundreds of rolls of toilet paper. For what purpose? It's just panic. For no reason. World financial markets. If you follow the financial news, and I follow financial news, it's just one of my interests. But really, the world financial markets were in free fall this week. Complete collapse. People just selling assets just because they're afraid. People have literally lost collectively billions upon billions upon billions of pounds and dollars worth of assets in the last week because people are just panicking. Nations are preventing travel. People can't, America has shut down. People from Europe, people from many countries can't go there. Denmark has said no one can come in. Spain is shutting down and not allowing flights. Countries are banning large gatherings. We have not seen anything like this in decades. I would say in a century. I think that the most recent thing we had would be the Spanish flu, 1918-1919. And there was not the communication that we have today. So people didn't panic the way they're panicking today. We have not seen this in decades. These are all actions that reveal that our world is descending into panic. So, how should we respond as believers? When we are faced with uncertainty, what are we supposed to do? When we are faced with uncertainty, what are we supposed to do? Where are we supposed to turn? Who are we supposed to trust? Well, Solomon writes about that in this verse. You say, well, Pastor Ryan, this verse is about preparing the horse for battle. I know. But Solomon is writing about this in this verse, what to do in times of uncertainty. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon makes a statement that gives us insight into how we should behave and what we should do in times like this. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Now, the first thing Solomon says is this. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. So the first thing that you and I should do is prepare. The first thing that you and I should do in times of uncertainty is prepare. Now, let me give you some background so we can understand what Solomon is speaking of here. Let me give you some background. And it's not biblical background, it's historical background. For thousands of years, until the modern era, the strongest and most feared weapon on the battlefield was a horse. For thousands of years, the strongest and most feared weapon on the battlefield was the horse. In ancient times, we read about it in the book of Exodus, whenever the children of Israel are fleeing. What does Pharaoh send after them? He sends the chariots. He sends the chariots to try to go chase them down. In ancient times, it was chariots. Then it became cavalry, horse-mounted soldiers, soldiers mounted on horseback. And for years, it was the speed of the cavalry. The cavalry was very fast, and they could dominate any soldier on the ground. And so they were most feared weapon in the military until World War I. Cavalry was used up until World War I. And then it was trench warfare, and then we developed tanks, and the horses were kind of useless against a tank. And so until that time, this was the most, a horse was the most feared weapon. And so when Solomon wrote this verse about the horse on the day of battle, it was very relevant for his time. In referring to the horse and battle, Solomon is speaking about military preparations for national defense. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about preparing his army. He's talking about preparing his armies on horseback. He's saying the prudent thing to do is to prepare the horse for the day when you will need it. The prudent thing to do is to prepare the horse for the day when you will need to defend your homeland and to defend your people. And that's what Solomon is speaking of here. And that's what people did back in that day. And look, honestly, that's what nations still do today. They prepare their militaries. We have a military in this country that are trained and ready to respond if anything happens. Every country in the world just about has this. They are trained and ready to respond in case anything happens. You don't wait until the threat to say, oh, we better build up an army. No, you have it prepared and ready to go. And so that's what Solomon is speaking of here. Now, considering what Solomon is saying here about the horse, I want you to just think through it with me for a moment. There are long-term and there are immediate preparations that you need to make. When Solomon says you need to prepare the horse for the day of battle, there are some long-term things you have to do for that, right? Horses don't just naturally let people ride on them. You have to break a horse. It takes time. You have to train a horse to be able to accept a rider on its back. It's not something you can do overnight. So if I'm going to prepare a horse for a day of battle, I got to start ahead of time. I got to start weeks, maybe months ahead of time to prepare this horse for the day of battle. The horse has to be trained to carry a rider on its back. Horses, if you've ever been around horses, horses are kind of skittish animals. They're wary. They don't like loud noise. Horses are fast, so their defense is to run away. They're not like a tiger, a lion, something like that, who's got claws and fangs, and they're going to charge into danger. No, the horse's defense is to run away. So a horse had to be trained to go into battle. The noise of battle, people screaming, people, you know, swords on shields, and all the gore and death of battle. Horses had to be trained to go into that. They wouldn't naturally do it. And so my point is, there are some long-term preparations that have to be made. Whenever you're faced with uncertainty, there are some long-term things you have to consider and some long-term preparations that have to be made. But there's also some short-term preparations that have to be made. When the day of battle is here, when the day of battle has arrived, you still have to saddle up the horse. You have to put the saddle on the horse. You have to put whatever armor is on the horse. You have to make sure that the horse has been fed, the horse has been watered, that it's strong enough to go into the day of battle. So my point is, when you're faced with uncertainty, there are some long-term preparations you need to make, but there's also some immediate, some short-term preparations you need to make. You need to be ready. So we can see that Solomon is writing about here future eventualities, future things that might fall into the realm of the unknown, events that you do not know are coming for sure. Think about the military. This is what Solomon's talking about. You rarely know exactly when the enemy's going to attack. You rarely know exactly where the enemy's going to attack. So you have to be prepared. What we can discern from this is that there is wisdom in being prepared. There is wisdom in being prepared. There's nothing spiritual about taking the attitude like this. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to prepare for anything. I'm just going to let the Lord sort it all out. Now, we sometimes think, oh, I'm super spiritual. I'm just going to fully and completely trust the Lord. But Solomon's saying here, it's okay to prepare. It's okay to prepare. It's okay to do some things to get ready. It's okay to act prudently. It's okay to do some things to prepare yourself for what might be coming in the future. Solomon was saying there's a certain level of preparation that needs to be done. Now, he's speaking here on a national level, and we understand that. But there's a certain level of preparation that needs to be done, and we can apply that to our lives as well. Let's look at a couple other verses here in the book of Proverbs that talk about this. Go to Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 8. Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon is writing, and he says this. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So what ways are we supposed to? He says, go to the ant, examine what the ants do, and consider what the ants do, and learn wisdom from them. So what specifically do the ants do that we're supposed to learn from? Which have no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. So specifically, the behavior that Solomon is trying to draw our attention to here is that the ant provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. What is the ant doing? The ant's preparing for the future. The ant is gathering food, gathering meat in summer, gathering food when food is plentiful, and gathering her food in the harvest, gathering food when food is plentiful. For what? For the wintertime. Because there's no fruit in the wintertime. Things don't produce fruit. Vegetables don't produce vegetables. It's hard to grow things in the wintertime. So what do you have to do? You have to think ahead, and you have to prepare when there's a plenty. You have to prepare in the summertime. You have to prepare in harvest. This is what Solomon is trying to draw out from the ant's behavior, that we are to be prepared. Go in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 22. Our text is in 21. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. What does it say? 22 verse number 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The prudent man seeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent person, a wise person, a person who thinks about things and makes good decisions, looks down the road, foreseeth the evil, and hides himself. The prudent person looks ahead, sees something bad going to happen, sees something bad coming, and hides himself. Puts himself away, gets out of the way, makes preparation for it. But the simple person meaning the person who can't think things through, the person who can't make good decisions for themselves, they don't understand danger is coming, and they just stand there and take it. And they're punished for it because they've not thought things through and they've not been careful. Both of these verses talk about the wisdom, the ant and this prudent man talk about the wisdom of thinking ahead and being prepared. So when we are facing situations like we're facing today in this world, when we're facing threats to life, threats to our health, when we are facing a possible threat to disruption of our society, there is no problem with being prudent and prepared. There's no problem with being prudent and prepared. Like I said, sometimes we get this idea, oh, I'm going to be super spiritual, and I'm not going to do anything, and I'm just going to let the Lord take care of all of it. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. It's okay, and we're going to talk about the flip side of this in just a moment. But the Bible doesn't say just don't do anything and just take the punches as they come. No, prepare. Be ready. I think sometimes we feel like we're not being faithful to the Lord if we prepare. Well, I'm not really trusting the Lord because I've spent all this time getting ready for this thing. No, it's okay. Be prudent and prepare. It's not a problem. That's what Solomon is trying to, one of the things Solomon is trying to teach here. So, what should we do? Follow the advice. Wash your hands. Be careful what you do in public. If you ride public transport, you don't have to touch everything getting on and off the train. Be careful the things that you do. Be careful of the people you're around. If you know someone is sick, you don't need to go hang out with them. Don't go outside. Don't go out to public places if it's not necessary. Have some extra canned goods at home. Whatever you think is prudent to do. But it's okay to be prudent. But don't put your trust in those preparations. What does the second half of our text say? The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. It may be very well for us to prepare, but we're still supposed to put our trust in the Lord. And that's the second point. We may prepare, but we're to trust in the Lord. We're not to trust in those preparations that we made. Our faith is not in the fact that we stockpiled food in the cabinets. Our faith is not in the fact that we have hand sanitizer on the back table. Our faith, our trust, is still in the Lord. We make preparations, but we still trust the Lord. There can be a problem when we take things too far. Our safety is from the Lord. Our safety is of the Lord. There is no problem with being prepared. But there's a major problem when we begin to trust in our preparations instead of trusting in the Lord. Because when we begin to trust in our preparations, we're essentially just trusting in ourselves. It becomes sin, to be just quite honest with you. It becomes sin to trust in ourselves to protect us instead of trusting in the Lord to protect us. He says safety is from the Lord. Not trusting in my own self and my own wisdom and my own ideas and thoughts. What can I do to protect myself? I'm not trusting in those things. I may do some of those things, but I'm trusting in the Lord. And that's where our trust is supposed to stay. Now, it's interesting that Solomon wrote about preparing the horse for the day of battle because the kings of Israel were forbidden to build up large herds of horses. Go in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 17. It's interesting that Solomon wrote about preparing the horse for the day of battle because the kings of Israel were forbidden to build up large herds of horses. Why? Because God knew if they did that, they would begin to put their trust in those things and not in Him. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 16. This is the law. The Mosaic Law. And there's a specific section here that applies to horses. Let's start in verse 14. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as the nations that are about me. So God foresaw that. God foresaw that one day the nation of Israel was going to demand a king. And God gave rules for it. It just wasn't the right timing because they picked Saul first. They should have waited for David. But God foresaw that coming. He says in verse 15, thou shalt in any ways set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. See there, they should have waited for David, not started with Saul. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. So he gives them some rules about a king. But then he gives these rules about what the king should and should not do. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. So God says one day when the nation of Israel wants a king, these are the rules. He cannot multiply horses to himself, nor can he go down to Egypt to buy a bunch of horses and bring them back. Neither can he multiply wives to himself. What's that about? That's about making alliances with these other surrounding nations. He's not to make these alliances, these political marriages with these surrounding nations. Nor should he multiply to himself silver and gold. He shouldn't make himself rich. What God is saying is this. When you set a king over the nation of Israel, he shouldn't trust in the military. He shouldn't trust in political alliances. And he shouldn't trust in wealth. He should trust in me. He shouldn't trust in the military. He shouldn't trust in political alliances. He shouldn't trust in his wealth. He should trust in the Lord. That's what the thrust of what God is saying here. God foresaw what would happen. God knew what was going to happen. And so God tried to give them some criteria here to stop it from happening. God tried to encode it in the law. To prevent it from happening. God tried to write it in the law to force them that they would trust in Him instead of trusting in the things of this world. Now the interesting thing is this. Solomon violated all three of those. Solomon built these massive, huge stables in Israel. You can go to Israel and see the archaeological remains today. Solomon had hundreds of wives, political alliances. Solomon was one of the richest men the world has ever known. Solomon violated all three of them. But that doesn't mean that his advice is worthless. It becomes sinful when we begin to rest and trust in those things instead of trusting in the Lord. The kings of Israel were not to put their trust in their military strength, their alliances, and their riches. They were supposed to trust in the Lord. Now we see that some of the children of Israel did not follow God's plan. We know that Solomon didn't. I just told you that. All you got to do is read Kings and Chronicles and read about the life of Solomon, and you'll know that Solomon did not follow that advice. But turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 31. Nor did some of the children of Israel follow in that advice. In Isaiah chapter 31, God is talking about judgment. Really, in these chapters here, God is talking about judgment. In Isaiah chapter 31, God speaks about some children of Israel, some children of the southern kingdom of Judah, who flee to Egypt trying to seek safety. What does he say? Isaiah 31, verse number 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help. Why? Why are they going to Egypt? What does Egypt have for them that they think is going to be their safety? Well, it says this, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. He says, woe to these Israelites who go down to Egypt and trust in the military strength of Egypt. They trust in horses, they trust in chariots, they trust in these horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. They're trusting in all those things, but they're not seeking the Lord. Trusting in the strength of Egypt, but not seeking the Lord. And then what does he say? What's God going to do? Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fall together. God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to kill those who have fled there for help, and I'm going to kill those that are helping. I'm going to kill those, he says, that helpeth, and he that is hoping, he that is helped, are both going to be slain. Why? Because they've not trusted in me. Look back at the end of verse number one. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. They fled down to Egypt. They're trusting in the strength of man. They're trusting in the strength of these nations, the strength of their military. And they're not trusting in me. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to kill them both. I'm going to kill the ones who are fled there for help, and I'm going to kill the ones that are doing the helping. They're both going to be judged. He will destroy them both. The people of Isaiah would have been very wise to listen to what David wrote in Psalm 20. Psalm 20, verse 7 and 8. I learned this as a song, but it says this, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. The children of Israel in Isaiah's day would have been very wise to listen to the Psalms of David. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We're not going to trust in the things of this world. We're going to remember the name of the Lord our God. The people who trust in the things of this world, they are brought down and fallen. They're going to fall, but we are risen and stand upright. God's going to protect us. God's going to care for us. So, make preparations, but trust in the Lord. It is wise and prudent to prepare. But ultimately, we have to understand that our safety comes from the Lord. The reality is when we trust in something other than God, we have created an idol. Do you realize that? When you trust in something other than God, you have created an idol. Well, I'm trusting in my savings. I'm trusting in my money. I'm trusting in all of the assets that I have built up. You've just created an idol. You have said that thing is stronger and more important than God. Well, you know what I'm trusting in, Pastor? I'm trusting in this. I'm healthy. I work out. I go exercising. I run. I jog. I'm a healthy specimen of a human being. So I'm trusting in that. You've just made yourself an idol. Well, you know what? Boris Johnson's going to keep us safe. Donald Trump is going to keep us safe. You just made an idol out of the government. Anything that you're putting your trust in other than the Lord, you have created an idol in your life. And God says, if you're going to go down to Egypt and you're going to trust in the Egyptians, you can expect my judgment. You can't expect the hand of my protection. So if we as believers in these uncertain times, we need to put our trust in the Lord, not the things of this world. Be prudent, be prepared, but don't trust in your preparations. Trust in the Lord. When we begin to put our trust in the things of this world, it's quite possible that we forfeit the protection of the Lord. We begin, I'm going to trust in this. God says, okay, go ahead. I'm not going to protect you. Go ahead. But if we will trust in Him, He'll protect us. That doesn't mean bad things don't happen to good people. That doesn't mean bad things don't sometimes happen to children of God. They do. But those things have been filtered through God's grace. God knows what's going to happen, and God allows them sometimes to happen. So let's look, just a few verses. I want to look at a couple verses about trusting in the Lord this morning. Psalm 112. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 7. Just by way of encouragement and reminder to us this morning. Psalm 112, verses 1 to 7. David writes and says this, "Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil things. His heart is fixed." Trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. My heart is fixed on the Lord. That's how we should be. I'm trusting in the Lord. Look, I'm not tempted, we should say. We should commit. We're going to fix our trust upon the Lord. I'm not going to be moved to do these other things and make those idols above God. I'm not going to trust in the fact that I've created this stockpile of food in my house. I'm not going to trust in the fact that the government's going to get this thing under control. I'm going to trust in the Lord. That's where we should be. That should be our attitude. That should be our mindset. He's talking here, Psalm 112, he's talking about the man who is righteous, the man who is upright. He's talking about someone who is spiritually righteous. If you're born again, that's what you are. And your trust should be in the Lord. Go in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 8. Verses 5 and 6, we need to be very careful about. We need to examine our hearts in this matter. "Thus saith the Lord," Jeremiah 17:5, "Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. God said, cursed is the man that trusts in man. Cursed is the man, and that includes yourself, any man. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. What's it going to be? They're going to be like a heath. A heath is a place that nothing really grows there. It's almost like a desert. There's only small plants and shrubs because it's not a very fertile place. He's like a person that trusts in self, a person that trusts in man, a man who trusts in man, is going to be like a barren desert heathland. But, he says in verse 7 and 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that separateth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. He said, cursed is the man that trusts in man, but blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. The contrast is stark. The person who trusts in man is going to be like a desert wasteland. The person that trusts in the Lord is going to be like a tree planted by the river of water. Doesn't have to worry in times of drought. Still brings forth fruit. So God is saying, look, don't trust in the things of this world. Trust in the Lord. Finally, you should all know this verse, Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. God's got it all figured out. God knows what's going to happen. And even sometimes when things happen to us that we think, oh, that's bad. This is a bad thing. No, all things work together for good. You can't see the end. You don't know what the end result is going to be. All things work together for good. God's got it all planned out. God's got it all figured out. God knows what's going to happen. It all works together for good. Say, well, you know, is it good that people are going to die from this illness? In and of itself, no. But you know what? The world needs to wake up. And the world needs to turn to the one who's really in charge. The world needs to think about what's going on. The world needs to remember the one who created this place. It's obvious that mankind can't figure out how to handle this thing. So maybe they should turn to the Lord. It's a good idea. God's getting people's, hopefully people respond and people give their attention to the Lord, but we don't really know. But all things work together for good. For those of us who are believers, all things work together for good. That's what that verse is speaking of. Say, well, this doesn't feel like it's a good thing in my life. Maybe not, but ultimately God's going to work it for good. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon makes the statement that gives us insight into what we should do in uncertain times like this. We should prepare. There's no shame in preparing. It doesn't mean that you are not trusting God because you've prepared. It doesn't mean that you're disobeying God because you've prepared. You should prepare, but you should put your trust in the Lord. You should not put your trust in the preparations. You should trust in the Lord. You should still look to the Lord for your help. You should still look to the Lord for your safety. Don't be consumed with the fear. Don't be consumed with the panic. Look to the Lord for the safety. I think sometimes we get this idea that we're not living by faith if we prepare for the future. But if we look at the verse, Solomon says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. This verse teaches us that it's prudent to prepare. The problem comes when we begin to trust our preparations instead of trusting in God. We make an idol out of those things. We try to, think about it this way. We try to keep ourselves safe instead of trusting the Lord to keep us safe. We try to keep ourselves safe instead of trusting in the Lord to keep us safe. And so in times like this, we need to prepare, but we need to trust the Lord. Are we facing these worldwide issues of uncertainty and chaos? Or I'm sorry, as we face these issues, don't give in to the fear. Don't be, we saw earlier, don't be fearful of evil tidings. It says that the man who's righteous will not fear evil tidings. He's not going to fear these, oh, something bad's going to happen. Not going to be afraid of that. Instead, trust the Lord. Do not shrink back from showing the love of Christ to those around you. Remember, you're a representative of Jesus Christ. Don't shrink back from showing the love of Christ to those around you. Continue to be an ambassador for Christ. I don't want to hear anybody come up to me and say, Pastor Ryan, does Linda go to your church? Yeah, Linda goes to my church. Do you know, the other day in Asda, Linda had 5 boxes of toilet paper and she was carrying them to her flat and she would not give me one. She wouldn't share with me. No, don't be, look, be an ambassador for Christ. Be an ambassador for Christ. Show the love of Christ to other people. Don't go crazy like the rest of the world. Be prudent, prepare, but trust in the Lord. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and I ask you this question. If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? And the thought that comes to your mind is, no, Pastor, I'm not sure. I don't know that for sure. Well, let me tell you this. The only way you can prepare is to come to Christ. The only way that you can prepare is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The only way that you can prepare is to understand that you are a sinner and your sin separates you from a holy and righteous God. And the only way to come unto Him, the only way to avail yourself of His protection is to come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the best preparation you can make. You can stockpile all the food in the world, and if you haven't come to Christ and prepared that way, none of it matters. None of it matters. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I implore you, make the ultimate preparation. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and be born again this morning. It's the best thing that you can do. Let me leave you with this verse, and then we'll be done. Psalm 33, verses 20 to 22. It's a good verse, probably a good verse for us to memorize at this time in our lives. Our soul waiteth for the Lord, for He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him, because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in Thee. Those three verses would be good verses for us to memorize at this time. Maybe by the time we come back next week, maybe you will have committed those things to memory. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Psalm 33, verses 20 to 22. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank You for Your word this morning. Lord, I thought it would be a good time this morning to step back from our series and consider how we should respond, Lord. Lord, I thought it would be a good thing that we should have a reminder this morning that we need to trust in You. Lord, You can't turn on the news, You can't read anything on the internet, You can't hear anything on the radio without them talking about all this chaos and all this fear in the world. But Your word tells us that perfect love casteth out fear. Lord, we don't need to be in fear. We just need to trust in You. I pray, Father, that in just a few moments as we finish our service and as we walk out these doors and we go home or go about our business for the rest of the day and for the week ahead, that we will resolve to trust in you. Lord, we may make decisions, wise decisions, to be prudent and be prepared, get some things ready just in case. And Lord, but ultimately, we would trust in you. Not be consumed by all this other stuff. Not trust in something else, but trust in you. I pray, Father, that you would help us this morning to commit to this. Lord, I fear that in the next few weeks, even the next few months, things are only going to get more pressurized and they're only going to get worse. Help us, Lord, to trust in you. Help us to look to you. Lord, not to be distracted by all these other things, but to remain focused on you at this time. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.